Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Hi, my name is Aaron Snowell, and they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions, where we bring you the past, the present, and the future stars, the boxing history, the legend tales, the interviews, and coming live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado that's taking us on a magic carpet ride around the world, the radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I love that. Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm back here in Pottsville. Yeah, no, I'm going to be traveling the Magic Carpet ride in a couple minutes. But, yeah, we had fun last week, man. It was a great time down in Atlantic City. And, yeah, we'll get to that during the course of the show, too. We'll talk a little bit about that and what that means and what's ahead for the women's boxing. Lots of stuff going on. We'll talk about Breaka. She said, bring her on. Let's go. Come on. We'll do a catch weight and give me shield. She wants Taylor, too. So the women are getting ready. They're lining each other up. You know, they said, let's go. We don't care. Let's get us in the ring and fight. So good stuff to talk about, too. And, of course, Darrell Miller. Yeah, we'll talk about him.
We definitely have to talk about another guy who messes up millions and million dollars, and it just don't come around. And they said the potential with the pay per view and all that, it was a potential for $9 million at the end of the day. Because I guess he had some points on the back end of the deal if the pay per view went well. But you know, how do you mess up for a steroid? He should have learned, Bob. You know,
he was actually busted 5 years ago. I didn't realize he was a kickboxer. I can't even imagine that.
He was a kickboxer in California. He lost a decision in a kickboxing match. And then after that, Bob, he positive for another type of sports enhancement drug. And then the biggest fight, the biggest prize in sports is the heavyweight championship of the world. Bar none. You know, it's just as big as the Super Bowl and all the rest of the World Series or anything. But when you're heavyweight champion of the world, it really has a ring to it. You know what I mean? And to be going up against Anthony Joshua, who is the premier heavyweight champion that's out there, and at the biggest stage. Remember we talked about a few weeks ago when the 300 and some pounds, I said, there's a ring to that 300 and some pounds. I said, there's no way a guy, him be a 300 and some pounds training and be in tip top shape. Something is getting him to 300 and some pounds. And now we know why. He was taking this GW1516, which is a growth hormone. And not only Bob, you know, they took the one test, and, oh, no, it can't be me. Check the second B bottle. They check the same B bottle. They dig deeper. Once you get the second test, you know, when something's on the surface, they dig deeper. And they found out, he was doing it. he failed the test again. However, then it comes back after number three, Bob, the EPO, you know, that human horn, that's why he's big and stuff like that. And thinking he's a tough guy to all of these young fighters and stuff like that and training. I want to say something to them. Don't do it. If you understand sports training, these sports enhancement drugs are a big lie. Here's why they're a big lie. In exercise physiology, we know for absolute certainty is that if God don't give it to you, you can't get it. Meaning, your body is only comprised of a certain amount of fast twitch fiber and slow twitch fiber for speed and endurance. And training helps bring that up to its maximum. And so they think that these sports enhancement drugs do that. If you don't practice throwing a jab, you're not going to be able to throw the jab. Sports-specific training. And if you don't know how to throw a right hand or overhand right or a left hook to the body, and you wait, pin on a pill, a shot to be able to do it, it ain't never going to happen.
Right.
These things play a small thing. It's called perfect practice. Remember, we had told the young lady a couple weeks ago who was in the Olympics about that. She understood exercise physiology. And these are things when you study the science of sports training, you already know about it. You know what I mean? And coordination is the key in sports-specific training. When the more you practice, you become perfect practice. You know, and then you're able to execute in competition what you do in practice. You understand, Bob? And how you train and get the endurance for cardiovascular, is sparring, and all of that, your strength and endurance are sports-specific things. You know, running in those things are good for losing weight and for cardiovascular fitness that goes in your heart. That when your heart starts beating fast, training helps your red blood cells and your white blood cells for speed and endurance. So, you know, boxing is a science, and it's a proven science for those who hold true to it. It's hard work. It's hard work. It's hard work. There's no shortcuts to success. Plain and simple, Bob. But you don't need me preaching, Bob, take us on that magic carpet ride. Man, all these guys blowing 6-9 bills. Oh, man, Bob.
I know. The whole time you're talking, I'm thinking like $9 million, $9 million. Wow.
And a month away from getting it.
Yeah, a month away from getting it. Oh, man. Unbelievable.
Hey, could you imagine how the promoter thinking? He said, all this hard to get a guy in position to win the heavyweight championship, but more than that, the biggest payday of his career and probably the most money in the promotion. Yeah.
Dimitri, who had both had Shields and Hammer fight last week. He had both the ladies. But, we were talking last week. That's where he focused. He said, okay, I'm ready to – look at the Miller fight. That was his next thing on his list,
And how do you do it? He blew it. He blew it, Bob. He just outright blew it.
Plain out blew it.
So now the thing is, how do you come back from that? You know, it's going to take a lot of money.
Zivkin did it recently. You know, he had two failures, actually, but he's still back. But he's not what he was. He's not the pariah. We all will fight him, but you don't want to, because he's a bad. He's bad. He flunked twice. And now Miller's got that mark on his record, too, That's the same.
Well, it's a promoter's nightmare. Here you walk on down the line. It's come time to do something. The guys know they're going to be tested, man.
That's the thing I can't figure out. Come on. Yeah. And the whole program, the VABA and all that, you're not coming around.
The thing about it is that these boxing organizations, they made avenues for the fighters. If you were doing something and you'd done something in the class, they came up with this clean boxing is that just come in, admit it, go through the program, get it out your system, get tested, take the classes, learn about what these drugs do to you, the long-term effects of taking these type of drugs and abusing them. See, this is abuse.
Right, yeah.
You know?
And everything else that can happen, right?
Yeah. You know, torn muscle tissue. You know, when you haven't trained properly and you think there's a shortcut, your muscle tears, you get broken joints, the cartilages are weakened and all of that. You know, it makes no sense. You know, what I advise them to do, Dr. Robert Boyd put a book out. This maybe be 30 years ago, who was a dear friend of mine. He was part of the Nevada Athletic Commission. He was the chairman of the Olympic doctors and all of that. He wrote a book called Drug, Sports, and Politics. And in this book, he talks about steroid abuse, what it is, how they test, how they find out that a guy's on there, and how it's they can't get around it. You know that they can snatch a hair fiber, tell them everything that you took in your body. And so there ain't no shortcut. And there's signs that you look for. Guys get real big. Their face get like elongated with strong muscles. They get these heavy rashes on the side of their face, baldness in the top of part of your hair, and all of that kind of stuff. So there's many different signs. But get that book. That book is real interesting to look at. You know what I mean, Bob? But, you know, if you can, without us preaching to the choir, it's really sad. That's a sad moment. We have our guest holding the cue, and we'll get to him in a minute. But if, Bob, if you could take us for this magic carpet ride for us around the world, and let us know what's going on before we get to our guest.
Right, sure. Yeah, we have a big one tonight, Madison Square Garden, New York City, USA, where they'll host the WBO World Welterweight title fight between the champion undefeated Terrence Crawford, 34-0, 25 KOs. And he's one of those guys that had all four titles at one time, super lightweight titles. He's taking on a challenger, Amir Khan, 33-4, 20 knockouts. Also on the card, you have lightweight Teofimo Lopez coming out of Brooklyn, 12-0, 10 KOs. And Edith Totley, 31-2, 10 KOs. He's the EBU European champ. They go at it. And it's 10-0 Shakur Stevenson versus 24-1 Christopher Diaz in his featherweight fight as well. Championship bouts on tap in Carson, California also. We have 22-year-old sensation Brandon Figueroa. He's 18-0, 13 knockouts, battling the offense for a hole. 22-3-1, 11 knockouts for the interim WBA World Super Bantamweight crown. And Ricardo Espinosa Franco, 23-2, 20 knockouts. Faces John Riel Casimiro, 26-4, 17 KOs. And that's for the interim WBO World Bantamweight belt. And the headliner features Philadelphia's own Danny Garcia, 34-2, 20 KOs, taking on Adrian Granados, 20 wins, 6 losses, 2 draws, with a vacant WBC silver welterweight title. Heavyweight Andrew Ruiz Jr., 31-1, 20 KOs, and Alexander Dimitrenko, 41-4, 26 KOs. They both lost to Joseph Parker. They also do battle, and that's all on Fox TV tonight. Other action in the States includes the venue in Lawrence, Kansas, where Deshaun Webster, 11-2, and Marcus Oliveira, 26-3-1, tied for the USA Midwest Cruiserweight crown. And Mario Munoz and Raymond Gray go for the USA Kansas State Cruiserweight belt. Dan Abram and Mark Slider fight for the USA K-State lightweight title. And a couple of venues in Texas, with Austin checking in with the battle for the vacant ABF USA welterweight belt between Rashard Hicks, 11-0-1, and Dennis Knifecheek, 12-9-1. And Robert Redmond Jr. tangles with Marquis Hawthorne for the open ABF American West welterweight crown. San Antonio, they top tonight with middleweight Edward Jeremy Ortiz, 7-0-2, and Jesus A. Gomez Rodriguez going at it. Auburn, Washington features unbeaten welterweight Nicholas Jefferson. He steps in against Sean D. And up in Toronto, Canada, undefeated Kane Heron. He's 14-0-1. Crosses the ropes to take on the veteran Anderson Clayton, 41-13-2 in a welterweight headliner. And down in Jalisco, Mexico, Montserrat Alarcón, 11-4-2, fights Nora Cordoza in a female light flyweight feature. Action in Europe tonight, starting at the O2 Arena in London, UK, where Lucas Big Daddy Brown, 28-1, 24 KOs, coming out of Australia, clashes with David Allen, 16-4-2. Both those guys have a loss to Dylan White on their resume, and that's a heavyweight showdown on Sky TV. Fellow heavyweight Derek Chisora, 29-9, and Sanat Gashi, 17-3, face off, and unbeaten Joe Cordina, 8-0, battles Andy Towner, 22-4 for the Triple BFC British lightweight belt. 8-0 Josh Kelly fights Premislaw Yumowski, 17-0 for WBA International welterweight crown. Across town at Edmonton section of London, 10-0 welterweight Chris Congo goes at it with Fernando Valencia. And Torque Bevar is a light heavyweight Pavel August topping the card. These Belgium ends their night with the Omari Massino versus Suzy's Quebec middleweight matchup. And lots of venues in France tonight. In Charleville-Mézières, it's unbeaten Bruno Cerres, 10-0-2, tangling with Willie Borel, 5-3 in the middleweight main event. At the Trouville Casino in Calvados, 10-1 cruiserweight Aboulaye Dion faces Vukasin Obradovic. Rumiri has Recti Madani versus Vicente Andres Monzo as its middleweight headliner. Fleer fights with middleweight Joel Duchemin battling Grami Kutanice. Dieppe features the Hervé Lofidi versus Yassine Habachi cruiserweight finale. And the Puy-en-Velay has the Vali Taldi versus Lee Kaide middleweight contest at the top of that card. Super welterweight Gregory Trinnell, he highlights the card in Danville, and the Valenciana, Spain showcases the Eusebio Arias versus Ionas Pentu super middleweight clash. A couple of slots happening in Switzerland. In Lucerne, Tafik Basrami, 14-1, and Elvis Maslovic, 7-7-2, vie for the vacant WBU German version cruiserweight belt. And Vera Lingen highlights the Ricardo Silva, 16-2, versus Carlo Tabugla. He's 18-3 at the welterweight bout. Marcelo Matano stepping in with Thomas Lasca is the welterweight headliner in Emilia Romagna, Italy. While over in Pagani in Campania, it's super featherweight Vincenzo La Femina and Sabato Sirica meeting up. At the Bill Clinton Palestra in Ferrozal, Kosovo, unbeaten middleweight Albi Sara, he's 5-0 clashes with David Bauza. And the Floyd Mayweather Boxing Academy in Zhukovka, Russia, as Ike Shatanazarian and Elmer Samadov fighting for the WBA Continental Lightweight Crown. And it's 14-1-1, Pavel Malikov versus Gaibatula Gazialiev, 6-1-1, in a lightweight feature there as well. Big night of action in Windhoek, Namibia, where 8-0 Harry Simon faces off with Andreas Ninyanagawe for the open Namibian super lightweight belt. And it's 13-0 Mika Shonena versus Shadrach Ignas, 16-16-1, for the WBO Africa welterweight title. And at the top, 17-1 Jeremiah Nakatila steps in with Zoltan Kovacs in a super featherweight main event. In Togo, that's the first time we have the small West African country of Togo appearing. They have super middleweight Kwame Fali Kuega, 17-3, 12 KOs, and Sabrit Ulagwachman facing off. And now back across the Atlantic to Argentina, and Buenos Aires with Taisi Sports TV will showcase Pablo Oscar Natalio Farias, 30-4, crossing the ropes to fight Dario Herman Balvasida. And that's for both the Argentina FAB and South American cruiserweight belts. And 45-year-old Gonzalo Omar Basile, he's 73-12, and Julio Enrique Cuellar Cabrera, 13-6, live for the vacant South American heavyweight crown. Mar del Plata showcases the battle of super flyweight Julio Oscar Quiroga and Herman Jimero Lopez. And Monte Chingolo features a female flyweight fight between Ayala and Michaela Alejandro Granadino and Maria Sol Bajar. And finally, out of the far east, we have Joe Nonne. He's 16-2-1, and Kosuke Sato, 18-4, fighting for the open WBO Asia Pacific Super Featherweight belt in Osaka, Japan. In Goyang, South Korea, we'll see Min Jong, 7-0-2, fight Hyun Jun Lee, 6-2-1, for the vacant South Korea Super Flyweight crown. And the battle for the open WBC Youth World Super Bantamweight title will be decided in Bang Phuong, Thailand. The Tatan and Long Farm, 3-0-1, takes on Muhammad Ashik, 6-0-1. Also, ring veteran Panya Uta, 52-6, fights Carlo Magali, 23-11-3, in the co-main event. Around the world, 17 countries, not too bad today. We have a holiday weekend, Easter weekend, and Passover weekend, things like that. So, lots of action, nevertheless, happening around the world here.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. Thank you for that magic carpet ride around the world. You see, there's a lot of boxing action going on. But we have our guests hanging here in the queue, and we're going to bring them in. But, you know, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champion in the radio aficionado, Bob Murray. Take us in around the world on the magic carpet ride, baby. Well, we have our special guest, former heavyweight champion of the world, Tony TNT Tug. Brother, what's going on, Tony?
How you been doing? You been all right?
I'm doing, man, Yeah, I'm doing all right, brother. It's always good to talk to a great fighter, an old friend of mine. You know, Bob Murray, he's up in Pottsville right now by Ollie's training camp where you bro. Talk a little bit about that experience of being the top amateur in the world with Muhammad Ali.
You know, for me, it was a great experience. You know, I was 16. You know, I had an uncle that was a fighter, and I was watching Muhammad Ali when he was fighting. So I started picking up on the bag. Now once I started working with the bags, I started fighting in the streets. You know what I'm saying? When you're fighting in the streets, you know what I'm saying? I would go down here if the best man was living downtown, I would come down there with my gloves and ask him, you know what I'm saying, can we take him and just have a challenge here? You know, so when I worked them all up in Cincinnati, you know what I'm saying, and I started winning tournaments, Ohio State Fair tournaments and Golden Gloves and stuff like that. And one day I had a call by Ross Fields or Harold Smith, you could say. He wanted to start it.
The president of Muhammad Ali Sports, MAPS, it was called at the time.
Right. And what happened was I helped him choose the team, and most of the fighters was from Ohio.
Yeah, they were.
So because we had a lot of champions winning Golden Gloves and stuff like that back there. But then as we worked, I got a phone call and said we was on the Muhammad Ali team. So, you know, Muhammad Ali, we went to Pottsville for the train.
That's
so
right.
For me, you know what I'm saying, it was, man, you know, I was 16 years old. The first thing that they did, Leon Spinks had beat Muhammad Ali. So when Leon Spinks beat him, he said he didn't have his skills where he could slip. But I think I think I was the fastest heavyweights back then in the heavyweights. So
That's right.
Yeah. So Muhammad took me up then, you know, getting in the ring with a famous heavyweight champion like Muhammad, you know what I'm saying? The first day, you know what I'm saying, he came in, and so we started boxing. But I was a little leery because, you know, I was just a baby at 16. But I had fast
hands. That's right.
So if he could slip my jab or slip my combinations, he would pulverize Leon Spinks.
I come in,
the first 10 round, come pow, pow, pow. Okay, now, he busted my nose, man. You know, you hear me? He busted my nose, right?
that's right.
But when he busted my nose, and then I said, man, look, I ain't never went no four and five rounds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he pushed you to the limit.
So then I wouldn't eat with him, man.
Right.
I was mad. Then he came and said, boy, you got the right attitude of a champion. He said, look here.
That's right.
You come back and you think about the combinations that I hit you with. It's going to make you even madder. So what I did, I took it, ran that morning. I ran with him, and you know, I never had ran no 6 miles. You hear me?
All right.
So
he put it in with combat boots on.
I'm trying to tell you. I went and then
with combat boots on. Uh-huh.
We took run together. Then you know, he said, just how he said, get the flow of it. So now the next day, you know what I'm saying, we're coming in now. Now I'm used to him now. So now when he throws it, I'm slipping and I'm counting him. Pop, 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 you know, with the vein. So so like I was whooping, I was hitting him with the jab, right? He still snuck in the little right hand. And I stepped back and throw the hook in. Then when he had me in the corner one time, you know, he thought he was going to hit me, but I slid out the corner. Then he said, that's it.
Right.
Then Muhammad said, that's what I'm talking about. And then I get the little smack I can get on his jaws, you know what I'm saying? With the jab.
Yeah.
And then when he could hit me back, when he could counter my jab, he know it was no way that Leon Spinks could beat him. You hear me?
That's
so,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
I remember,
man,
those days
right
with Tony. Lana Shabazz love you to death. Sister Lana,
man,
who was the chef for Ali. She loved her some Tony Tubb. She said he can get whatever he wants in this kitchen. He's the champ. And with all of those with Leo Randolph, Sonny Long, Showtime, Carter, Joe Cloud, all them guys were up there at the time. You know,
it
was just an amazing period. You know,
How could a kid feel like there's in another world with Muhammad Ali, running with Muhammad Ali, and being his sparring partner? You hear me? This right here, man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That goes down in history, man. You know what I'm saying? Really? I really think, you know what I'm saying, that was the day, you know what I'm saying, God bless me. Because, you know, I came in there with Muhammad. Then I got a chance. I got a chance to take him, be a sparring partner for Larry Holmes.
That's right.
And then Larry Holmes had to put me out of his camp. He said, "Man, I'll be damned if you're gonna be hitting me like that."
Yeah. But Tony, let's talk about Muhammad Ali. Bought your mother home too. He sent Harold Smith down there.
He sent Harold Smith. He said he got something special for me because he had won a title back from Leon Spinks. And then when he whooped Leon Spinks, he told me, "Man, I want to get you a house." You know what I'm saying? Because I had a lot of family. Okay. He came down here and bought a house. And I was telling a person, Muhammad was going to buy me a house. Yeah, I ain't going to buy you no house. And this and that. Nothing, you hear me? Then I shocked the world, man. But that was the best thing that ever happened to me, man.
We have our other guests holding the queue. If our other guests would just hold on, we're going to get to you while we're finishing up. Just hold the queue. But go ahead, Tony. What were you saying?
I was saying that he, you know what I'm saying, was like a father, man, to me. You hear me?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And how could I take him? Because, see, Muhammad could shuffle. He could do all that. And he had a speed. But I was fast as him. You hear me? He couldn't shuffle.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to beat Leon. And he was going to be the winner. And he was
right.
He dug down. Boy, but when the first day I had experienced them jabs and them right hands, well, look at here. I think, man, I ain't never been no four rounds.
but you had other teams around, too. You know, Jimmy Ellis, he worked with you.
I worked with all the former heavyweight champions. But Larry said, "Man, now I know you've been in other camps." He said, "But I ain't working that way." He said, "Once you connect, I ain't spending my money." But you know what though? I really, you know what I'm saying? I talked to Larry, you know, the other day. Because, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, did you?
It's a good thing to keep hold, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? Muhammad,
yeah.
Muhammad was one of a kind.
He
was a champion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all he could do. He would run. He would miss no days of running. You know, and get back. He would tell you what to do, you know what I'm saying, and how to do the speed. So I got the jab for him and Larry Holmes got the jab from Muhammad Ali, too. You know what I'm saying?
He sure did.
You know,
I'm going to mention this name to you and see if you remember this name. Tom Peters.
You
remember Tom Peters?
Tom Peters was there. Tom Peters, yeah.
That was our man, with Hal Smith. He was the man. Tom was.
You know, Tom was a big, you know, was a big man with Harold Smith. And but Tom was ride us around. You know what I'm saying? And we would go anywhere, man. We wanted to win the 1980 Olympics. So we went all over the
right.
world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we still, you know what I'm saying? They messed the Olympics up that year. I know it was about a war or whatever, but we would have won.
Mm-hmm.
We would have won.
Yeah, yeah.
But what does it feel like to be heavyweight champion, Tom? You know what?
What does it feel like to be heavyweight champion of the world?
The happiest man in the world. See, you the king fighter of the world. And I was the last 15 round fighter. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm not going to put nobody down, but I'm going to tell you this. The heavyweights used to always was the showpiece of the boxing back in them days.
That's right. Everybody wanted to see the heavyweights
now,
fight. That's right.
You know, and now, you know, the middleweights got it. You know what I'm saying? But I don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
I really think, you know, the heavyweight fighters now, you know what I'm saying, they just fight. But it don't seem like, you know what I'm saying, that they got a skill. You know what I'm saying? How, you know what I'm saying, to do it. You know, but, yeah, man, we were flashing from dope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, down from everybody. You know, we did
it. Yeah, well, everybody, when we were up there, Tim Witherspoon was still amateur, too, when he came up there.
Right.
All of us. All of us was there, you know, young.
That's right.
Just wanting to prove that
and
everybody,
you know,
we could do whatever we can do.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. And but we was fighting back then.
Oh, ain't no question.
We was fighting.
Hey, I mean, they used to say, if you couldn't fight, you get ran up off that mountain. And a whole bunch of them got ran off of that mountain.
That's right.
They wouldn't let you stick around.
I know it. You show. Because we used to run. Because we weren't going to be beaten by being in shape. So, man, we was ready.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah,
to hear
but
voice,
Tony,
man.
What's a message you want to tell the children, man? Because we got our other guests waiting on the queue here, Lyndon Bill Dempsey with the National Boxing Hall of Fame. But before we get to you, what message do you want to send to the children?
Keep your heart right. And if you want to be a winner, you got to work for it. If you want to be a champion,
you got to
work for it and put in the sacrifice. And if you can't do that, it ain't no use you worrying about it. Because if you ain't got the heart, and if you ain't fighting to be a champion, ain't no use of being in the boxing match.
If you just going in there just
to get some money, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got the heart in the
life. That's all you get.
You know what I'm saying? That's all you're going to get. But to be a champion, you want to be a champion. You want to win.
Okay.
And everything, you know what I'm saying, goes. That's right.
Yeah. Well, Tony, we'd like to thank you for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show,
okay.
And we're going
to
bring
like
you back.
I like hearing your voice, man.
Man,
okay.
You too, man. You know all of us go way back, brother. And, there's not too many guys around that can go way back and talk the talk and walk the walk and got
That's
the
right.
accolades to go with them, man. And you
right,
were there,
man.
And, man, we had a beautiful
right.
time, all the people that came through there, all of us. You know, Boudini
right,
Brown,
right.
you know,
Brown,
everybody
right,
that was
all
up there. Yeah. Oh,
right.
man, it was mm-hmm. one love. And if you think about
right.
all of us that were young, tried aspiration
and
to get something.
And we all was a gang of fighters that would go all over the world whooping their behind.
That's right. And we'll close on that, Tony. If you hang on and let me bring Bill and Linda in, and we'll bring you back into the show. Oh, just hold on. Bill and Linda, welcome to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. How you doing?
Doing great, Aaron. How are you guys doing? It's not. We listen, really enjoying listening to your interview there with Tony. That's we feel like we're just kind of peeking into the all the background of the heavyweight division. That's really wonderful.
Yeah. Bill and Linda, go ahead,
Aaron. Oh yeah,
I'm here. I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay. When you say, we got these guests waiting. Listen, the guests were really enjoying the conversation you guys were having.
With this Hall of Fame thing, the two presidents, Bill and Linda Dempsey, man, we'd like to thank you for coming on the show. But we're 1 week away, you know, a week and a day, I believe it is, for the 2019 inductees. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we've got, the honorees. We've got Julio Cesar Chavez, Senior. Thank you. Michael Carbajal, David Diaz, Humberto Chiquita. Hey, listen, number one that we've got going on, the most important thing that has ever happened in boxing was when Johnson was allowed to fight for the title. And that is the most important thing that's going on. Everybody, you know, we got to move through everything quickly. You know how we have to do that. But the fact that I am so happy and so proud to be getting to bring Jack Johnson into the Hall of Fame. It is really a wonderful thing to be doing, and for it to be happening now, very soon after he was relieved of that charge that he died.
The Mann Act. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Mann Act, where he went to prison for.
Yes, and it's sad that this didn't happen before he passed, and before so many of his family and friends and fans have passed, and they don't get to experience the joy that we get to experience now. So, but anyway, really happy to bringing Jack into the Hall of Fame,
and we're looking forward to your exhibit, Aaron. I know you have really worked hard, and carrying his legacy is just wonderful to know that. And to bring Linda, Jack Johnson's great niece, is that correct? If I have that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. She's coming with us with the exhibit. She travels around with us with the exhibit. But as you well know, you can't do nothing without the WBC. The WBC is the biggest supporter of it. I mean, you know, Mauricio Sulaiman, he's a stand-up guy, and when he's beside you and with you, it's second to none, and he's been with me all the way. Jill Diamond with WBC Cares and Pepe and all of them out there in California where the office is located here in the United States. I mean, they're a stand-up bunch of guys who really, really pushed for this thing. Started with their father, Jose Suleiman, and with Mauricio, just like his father, looking out for the downtrodden, the poor, the ones kicked to the side, the ones left out, and fighting for freedom, justice, and equality. That's what that green belt means a lot. It just ain't a title belt. Yeah. But
that's,
who
that's
else we got going in?
Yeah.
Tell us
beyond.
About.
Yeah. I just going to say real
who
quick,
else
that
do we
got beyond the belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else
do
we have? We have David Diaz, Humberto Gonzalez.
Michael Carbajal.
Michael Carbajal. I said Michael Carbajal, I think.
Uh-huh.
I just want to talk about Jack.
Humberto.
Montel. Sean O'Grady. Raul Perez. Lucia Riker. Mike Weaver. And then the non-boxing. Now, Jack Johnson is... Oh, by the way, just a reminder to everybody. We induct everyone in category and then alphabetically. And the reason we do that is because we don't want to be putting the, let's say, the most successful, the most amount of wins, or anything like that, putting that above each other. We want everybody coming in as an equal.
Fair. Yeah, we want.
Just as an equal. They're all there for the same honor.
Everyone's
being
special.
Inducted. Everybody's special.
Including our attendees. We got great guests coming in, too, of the boxing world as well. And we can get to that, but go ahead. We have so in that category, the non-boxing category, but you must say boxing. We have Carl King, and he's got quite a group coming in to support him. And what a background Carl has! And I have to say, doing these bios and watching Bill going through all their background, you just learn so much about them, even more on their personal side, their struggles, their victories. It really is interesting. I find it fascinating. But back to the list here, we have Amy Hayes. She's the Lady of the Ring, the female announcer that broke through many years ago. And she'll be coming out with her family and some support groups. We have Jose Manzur from Mexico, who has spent a lifetime in boxing. What a background he has. And, of course, Abel Sanchez, a Triple G's trainer right now. And Abel has quite a background of the boxers, well-known champion boxers he has trained. And, of course, Bill could fill you in on that one. But the program will be full. It's going to have all their credentials, and there would be a lot of information in the program so that when they go home, they'll say, what was it he did? And they'll be able to read all about him. Yeah, so we've got Alan Santana, and he's going to be inducted. Jim Strickland from Chicago, he has health issues. And what a group coming in from Chicago. I mean, Ernie Brown and his wife, and we've got Leroy Murray, from the Olympic days. What a background he has. There's a whole group of from Chicago. Back to the Don Jose Suleiman Award. Bill, you take over.
Back to the Don Jose Suleiman Award?
Well,
Bill Kaplan is getting the Don Jose Suleiman Award, and they were good friends. And Bill Kaplan is a writer. That isn't the main thing. He was a publicist. That's how he came into the business, as a publicist. And he's quite an interesting guy. What a background he has had. But he came in as a very young man. He was born into into boxing.
Yeah, he witnessed a lot of boxing.
Yeah,
and people witness a lot about Bill.
She's talking about Bill Kaplan. Yeah, but Bill Bill was at the Main Street Gym one day, And I don't know what he was doing there. He certainly wasn't there to work out, but he was at the Main Street gym. Probably some of his clients were there. And anyway, Cassius Clay, the young Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay at the time, Bill had a little transistor radio with him. And Cassius Clay goes over and says, what's that thing? And he says, it's a transistor radio. Did you get music on there? He says, yeah. He says, I got to get me one of those. He says, so when the workout was coming down to a close, he says, come on with me. I want to take you back to my hotel room. And so they went back. They really hit it off. And when he told Muhammad Clay at the time, of course, when he told Muhammad that he wanted to be a publicist, Muhammad said, "Well, you can be my publicist." He says, "Let's talk." So they went to the hotel, and he said that Muhammad broke out this enormous scrapbook. And he said he carried this thing with him every place, and he was such a personable guy. He said he was warm, friendly. They had the greatest time, and that started a friendship that lasted all through the years until, till Muhammad went. But he said one day he was, years later, he was in limousine was driving by. And this hand came out of the limousine shaking. And it was reaching out to Bill. It was Muhammad Ali. He had his limousine pull over. He was just that kind of a guy.
Yeah,
he was. He treated me like that. Yeah. So, but anyway, so there was that thing that happened with him, with George. He had, at the event, we're going to go into
it. We could go on and on about Bill Kaplan.
Yeah.
George Foreman, oh, my goodness, what stories they are there. Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Bill Kaplan said that he was there when George, do you remember, does the name, what was that guy's name, Clay Hodges? Do you remember the name Clay Hodges at all? He was a very well-known amateur heavyweight, and he fought Foreman as amateurs, and Foreman had knocked out, he had five fights, everybody got knocked out right away. Well, Clay Hodges took him apart. He lost that fight, and he was really depressed. When Bill went back into the dressing room, he says that George was sitting there with his head, literally his chin on his chest, and Bill went over to him, and he says he touched him on the shoulder. He says, don't worry about it. You're going to be a fine fighter. And I'm sorry. George said first. He says, I'm quitting boxing, because he couldn't believe he had lost this fight. He says, you're going to be a fine boxer. You're going to be fine. Uh-huh. And so some years later, he ran into Bill. And he says, you remember me? He says, we met there when he says, I had just gotten beat. The only time he had been beat, had time. And he says, I thought you were a celebrity. And he says, you told me I was going to be a fine fighter. He says, you look important. You're walking around in that tuxedo and pointing and telling people what to do. So he said, I figured this guy knows what he's talking about. I'm not quitting. I'm going to be a fine fighter.
That's a terrific story. Well, let's talk about the date, April 28th. Induction date.
This Sunday?
Yeah, it's on a Sunday. The reason it's on a Sunday this year, we may stick with that, is because Julio Chavez, that's the only day he could be there. It's a iffy thing with Julio. He's planning on being there. But, he's a commentator and he's working. He's on
ESPN in Mexico. He's got a They got a big fight down there, but he
the night before
be
he's
there.
Always Saturday night. He's
yeah,
always
yeah.
doing it.
We got quite a group coming in from Mexico. I think there's about 40 to 60 people. I don't know. it's really
okay,
growing.
We need to know the time. We need to know the time and where they can buy tickets in the website where they can go to.
They won't be able to buy them at the door. The reason being is because of the enormous amount of guests that we have. In order to provide the meals and be set in place, they need to order online right away. I have to give a final head count by Wednesday morning. So if they want to buy, they can go online at www.nationalboxinghalloffame.com. There is the icon there to click on, buy their tickets, and we'd have to hold them and mark them paid, and we'd have them at the will call table. And so that's the latest on that. So we have a red carpet. The banners will be up on the patio, and we've got we're going to have a full-on patio. And quite a group coming in. Boxers, Henry Tillman's coming. We've got Art Frias, Frankie Duarte, the Ruelas brothers, Armando Moniz, Ruben Castillo. We got quite a few boxers coming. Every year we like to bring them in. Of course, it's about the boxers and the boxing community. We got some special guests coming in from, I believe, from the UK as well. And I know we're probably getting close on time. But back to one more person we need to mention. With a couple more here. The Bobby Chacon Gift of Love Award goes to Jim Amato. You know, what a man Jim Amato is, and what he has given to the sport of boxing. And he will not be able to be with us due to health issues, but Dave Wilcox will be accepting his award in his honor. And
Dave
Wilcox is a great, great boxing fan and has contributed so much to boxing. He's going to take Jim Amato's award back to him in Ohio personally to deliver it to him. And that's the kind of man that Dave Wilcox is. He's just got such a heart. And of course, Jim Amato, oh my gosh, what books he's written and Gloves Gone By. And
he's done a lot of in the memorabilia stuff that he has. Bob Murray, mm-hmm. any questions for Bill and Linda Dempsey?
Good. But could you tell everybody the cost of the tickets too?
How they can get them and all.
We've been just trying to keep it at the same price. They're $75 a ticket, and I say, you can go online. There's PayPal, and under the PayPal button is where you can click on for credit cards, and we get back to you right away, confirm the purchase, and then we send an envelope, and we'll have their name on it, marked paid at our will call, and we've got a nice staff working with us, and I had to get 4 security guards because we have to make sure we can control these. I know it's going to be a lot of fun. The brotherhood, the sisterhood. Lucia Riker has already got her flight in place. She'll be with us. Looking forward to seeing her. And one more person, Gene Aguilera, the Book of the Year Award. This is his second book he has out. A great book, just filled with pictures and great stories of the great boxers. Anyway, it's just going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. And we're looking forward to seeing you, Aaron, and your group, and especially, the night before, right next door, we're going to be together, and we've got lots to talk about, and hopefully we get to enjoy.
And Montebello, California is the place. Montebello,
right.
California. In the Hilton. You know, you have to check out those places, you know. But hey, let's bring the former heavyweight champion of the world back into the show, Tony TNT.
Yes, great.
Yeah, Tony. Okay, Tony.
Hello, Tony.
Are you still on?
Yeah.
Hello, Tony.
Oh, got Bill and Linda Dempsey at the National Boxing Hall of Fame. Online with you on the World Boxing Review. How you doing, Tony? They want to holler at you.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, wonderful. It's great listening to you guys talk. Your interview was fantastic. Tony, you, you're looking great. You're sounding great. And boy, did you enjoy your career? Wow, wonderful career you had, Tony.
And through all this right here, you know what I'm saying? I would have the chance, you know what I'm saying, to thank them, man, for having me in their life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because really, you know what I'm saying? They changed my whole life, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And just to be talking to you as a fighter, you know, it's great, man, you know, but you know what I'm saying? I could never work nowhere because I was always teaching sports.
Uh-huh. Right.
And, you know, and I had over 300 fights, you know that.
My,
yeah.
You know,
it doesn't
seem humanly possible. And the heavyweight division, you heavyweight hit so hard. The amount of punishment that you guys were the toughest sport in the world. It is just incredible. What warriors.
That's right.
And being part of the Hall of Fame stuff is really a wonderful thing to be part of, because you get to bring back these greats from the past and not only remind the fans or show the fans, and there's always new fans that come about because of these things, but to remind the guys how special they were and remain to this day, and they'll be special for the rest of their lives because of the involvement in the sport. And it's really a wonderful thing and a thrill for us every time we start putting one of these Hall of Fame shows together. It is just a thrill, and then you get re-meet. Yeah, go ahead.
You know,
Tony spent a lot of time in California back when he was fighting as an amateur and pro professional and amateur sports. And Tom Peters, Bill, who you know very well, Linda. Tony, with Maps, that was his man. Tony, we were just talking about that.
What a special guy Tom is. Yeah, what a special person he is. I hope we can get Tom out to our event here. I'm going to give him a call later this week and remind him that we're having this. And of course, he's got a ticket waiting for him. So, so he might be there.
We got 60 seconds. We'll give you 10 seconds, Tony. We give you 10 seconds, then we'll close up with Bill and Linda. What do you want to say, Tony?
I want to say love your show, man. And boxing always been around. The fighters that was before us was great fighters. You know what I'm saying? So I love it. And I love each and every one.
All right.
Thank you.
Love you too, Tone. Bill and Linda, let's close up here. The National Boxing Hall of Fame. Come on with it, Bill and Linda. Close the show.
Okay, well, the National Boxing Hall of Fame, we got this great group of people that are going to be there, not just the ones that we're inducting. And we're honoring Jack Johnson, the greatest moment in the history of boxing. It's the greatest moment there has ever been and ever will be. All
right, we'll close on
that.
Thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame trainer and champion. And our radio aficionado taking people on a magic carpet, Rob, Bob Murray, and our special guest, the former heavyweight champion of the world, Tony TNT Tubbs, and Bill and Linda Dempsey from the National Boxing Hall of Fame. Thank you for being on the World Boxing Review. Next week, same time, same place.
Take care.
All right.
Yeah.